You're holding me now in your hands. I belong.
Oh, sing it.
You'll never let me go.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
You'll never let me go.
So yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for unction. Thank you for your tangible presence. As we go into the Word, we ask that same presence go with us. An increase. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon my heart, my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So your word will flow freely from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal an eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine in particular. Cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as we speak, that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard, and releasing all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, Father, to deliver the word with precision. Redeem the time. Say only what you want me to say. Bring another treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving all these blessings mentioned, the prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, today I'm going to continue a series of messages that the Lord gave me around the end of the Feast of Tabernacles last year, that is last Gregorian year. As far as the Jewish year is concerned, we're already in the new year. We enter the new year in Rosh Hashanah, which is known as the Feast of Trumpets. However, we stick with our Gregorian calendar because we're living in Gregorian politics and cultures. So, and late last year, when the manifestation of the Son of God did not start as I thought it should, the Lord spoke to me and said that the church wasn't ready collectively. Say, you were ready as an individual. And then he said, but you're not even as ready as you thought you were. And now in these last many months, I know exactly what he was talking about. I was ready. I was watching and praying always, which is this thing. I was doing that. There was no doubt about that. You know, walking in love. All that was. So I was very expectant. Very expectant. You see, it's not a one-man show. And the Lord said to me, he said, the church. So he now spoke to me about bringing more people together, which we've been doing, teaching them more, you know, more room for Jesus, you know, and showing them with greater clarity the path to life and the doing of these things. And in these last few months, I can honestly say that I can now see that we certainly were not ready, you know, talking as a collective body. And I can see now how we're getting better and we're getting more ready. So he gave me a series of messages taken from 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, which I spoke about last week, where he said, you know, his ways, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and then his testimonies. I'd never seen it like that before. He said, testimonies. I said, God, but that's your testimony. He said, yeah, but it's my testimony through men. So he says, I want you to keep those testimonies. In other words, I want you to reproduce in your own life. That's what it means to keep his testimonies. You know, the things I did in the lives of these great saints. And he spoke to me from Romans chapter 15. He says, whatever things were written, he says, it was written for our learning. He says, these things happened to them for examples unto us, unto whom the ends of the world has come. He says that we through faith and patience should inherit the promises. So when we see, we're supposed to imitate. That's one of the reasons why Hebrews 11 was written. It gave us a catalog of the great saints, you know. And then in chapter 6, he said, you know, that we through faith and patience might inherit. We should imitate. The word, Greek word, is the word mimetes, from which we get the English word mimic. It means we should mimic the lives of these great saints so that we, in our own experience, in our own generation, in our own time, can keep the testimonies of God. In other words, God can do the same things through us that he did through them, and, might I add, like the Lord Jesus did, greater. The Apostle Paul, writing about these things in the book of Hebrews, he said that we are living under a better testament, established upon better promises. There is no reason on earth why we should not outdo everything we read in the Old Testament. Completely outstrip it. And the Acts of the Apostles. Now, that's not a statement of pride. It's a statement of faith. Why? Because the Bible says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. It is to this end that he has downloaded to me a whole catalog of messages of the great saints and how I'm supposed to start teaching, you know, and preaching about them prophetically, their present truths. In other words, prophetic truths that have present day application. You need to understand that, I said this last week and I'll repeat it now, God's integrity is at stake. He said, you have seen well, he said to Jeremiah. He said, I am careful, this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase, I'm carefully watching, I'm alert, I'm active, watching over my word to perform it. God is not careless. He's not like us. If something has gone out of his mouth, he watches it. Even he has to watch it for 1,000 years, 3,000 years, 5,000 years. He's watching it to make sure that that word comes to pass and that it is fulfilled. The Lord Jesus himself spoke of this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. He said, but not one jot or tittle, for the law will pass until all be fulfilled. Go to that scripture. Yes. Very important. Everybody open your mouth. Say, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. The law is, you know, the Torah, it includes the prophets too, talking about the whole of the Old Testament. You know, till all. I didn't hear you. Till some. Till the big ones. The small ones. All be fulfilled. He's not going to stop. And as I speak this afternoon, on the 11th day of February, in the year of our Lord, 2024, many of them have not been fulfilled. Some have been. Very few, really. Majority of what has been promised has not been fulfilled. I was sharing this with them on Wednesday. He says, the heavens must receive Jesus until the restoration of all things. It doesn't happen. In fact, the church is in a worse shape than it was in the Acts of the Apostles. The church of the Acts of the Apostles is better than the church of today. So you see, we've got a lot of catching up to do. We must catch up and then overtake. Hence, these messages. For two reasons. One,
to create faith and a desire. Majority of Christians live a very mundane, man-centered, earthly, focused Christian life. Like somebody jokingly, he didn't say jokingly, but I made a joke out of it, told me years ago, taking me to a prophetic message in London, bringing me back. He was driving me. You know, I didn't have a car in England at that time. So I've never had a car in England. There's no need. You know, I rent cars. But that time I couldn't afford to rent. That was 20-something years ago. And as he was bringing me back, he said, look, all this prophetic, I was in a prophetic conference with Noel Woodruff, you know, and some other guys. You know, and I was teaching on all this, you know, advanced stuff, if you like. And he said, Pastor, he said, be prophetic, prophetic. In our language, that means it was only you and Noel that understood what you were saying. He said, the rest of all were just looking at you, which is probably the truth. You know, he said, then he said to me, he said, he was trying to be honest and sincere, you know. He said, you think these things are just too complicated? Isn't it just as simple? I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, isn't it just that we get the people born again? They get blessed, then they die, and then they go to heaven. It's as simple as that. All this prophetic zigzag, all this. He said, you're going to confuse people. I laughed. When I got home, I told my wife, I shared here in church over the year, you know. Then I explained to him. I said, no, it's not that simple. In fact, I didn't say this to him, but I'm saying it to us now by revelation. Simplicity is not the will of God. So how long will you all simple, will you fools remain simple? It's one of the problems of the church. We'll go and read the book of Proverbs, which we're in. He said, oh, they love simplicity. He says, the prosperity of fools will destroy them. But another rendering says, the complacency, the simplicity of fools will destroy them. Hence, mass destruction is taking place in the church as I speak. I'm not happy about it, though, and I'm not looking down on those who things are happening to, you know. And I got news for you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's perilous times. Things we got away with 10 years ago, we're not going to get away with now. Because iniquity is abounding. But at the same time, grace is much more abounding. But to get that one, you have to get more and more humble, which most people don't want to do. Or have not even been taught to do. They just assume that grace automatically abounds. It doesn't. It says he gives grace to the humble. If you want abounding grace, then you must have abounding humility. But don't let me get off course. So he downloaded me a whole series. I don't have all the details, but I got the headlines. And in these next few months, I'm going to be, you know, downloading the details and sharing it with us. Said I should begin to share about the great saints. And he gave me a whole list of them. I mentioned it last week. You know, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua and Caleb, Ruth, David, and Solomon. Put them in a group. Because you can't put Solomon in isolation. Another message for another day. You have to. The only way he enters is by hooking it up with David. Otherwise, he doesn't qualify. Another person who really should not be in that list, but is there for a reason, which I will share when I get to him, is Samson. He went to heaven. Samson went to heaven. But he didn't keep the testimony of God. Samson was a type of Jesus. He was a Nazarite. Like Jesus didn't, his hair was long. Only God knows what God wanted to do through Samson. It will be revealed to us at the white seat, at the great white throne judgment. At the bema seat of Christ. Because his birth is the closest to Jesus, except his mother was not a virgin. An angel appeared to his mother. He was born for the purpose of delivering Israel from the Philistines. He did it physically, but never got around to doing it spiritually. Another message for another day. So today, and others, there were others I mentioned last week. Then we have we have Samson. Then we have Elijah and Elisha. We have Joshua and Caleb. We have Ruth. We have Elijah and Elisha. Again, you can't put them in isolation. You have to put them together to get the full picture, because Elisha was actually an extension of Elijah's ministry, because Elijah was retired early. May God have mercy on us. He was given compulsory retirement. God said, go and anoint Elijah the son in thy stead, because he ran away from Jezebel when it mattered most. We'll be looking at all of that. Then after that, we had Mordecai and Esther. Again, you can have Esther in isolation. You can have Mordecai in isolation. It's a group thing. And then finally, Old Testament. We have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the Old Testament, I would put Paul and John. The others, just fit in somewhere in there. So we're starting today with Enoch. There was a Enoch. What a guy. What a guy. Genesis chapter 5. Glory be to God. If you're still my friend and you're on my side, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Then give the Lord a clap offering. Then turn to neighbor and said, you're not going to be in a hurry this afternoon. No. We are two dancing prayer. 60th birthdays. Should we not have done it? I like the dancing of Sister Toi. So all that time, now we have to put it back into the Word of God. So the extra time you are spending now is going to be in sacrifice for Pastor Kola and Sister Toi. Give the Lord a clap offering. So all this wonder, you start looking at your watch and your tummy is paining you and you want to go and eat rice. Incidentally, Nigeria is playing today. I don't know why I should go there, but I will go there. But if the match is at 9 o'clock, so we can come for prayer. Pastor Olu and I were believing God. The pastor will say, Nigeria is playing. No, you will do your prayer. Our prayer ends at 8. Then Nigeria is going to play at 9. Can I tell you a small secret? I used to pray for Nigeria. I used to. Then God talked to me. He said, you people don't know me. He said, you can't pray for one team. He said, because I'm fair to everybody. He said, there are also people in Ivory Coast who are also praying for their people. And I'm not a respecter of persons. I said, Lord, so what do I do? He said, pray for both teams. Honest. I'm giving you a testimony. It actually happened. This happened some months ago. It was actually over Arsenal. Because Arsenal is my team. We have a flat in the Arsenal Stadium. It's a very serious matter. So, he said, I can't. He said, pray for both teams. Ask that I will help them to do the best that they can do based on their training, their experience, and may the better team win. Like that. Selah. I knew I had heard from heaven. So I don't. And you know what? Arsenal has been doing well. Before, when I pray for them, they will lose. Nigeria, surprisingly, has been doing well. Because every time I pray for the two teams, and I ask God to help them, let them do their best. All the experience, all the training, everything, bring it, and then let the better team win. The team that deserves it. And I leave it like that. So, I'm praying for Nigeria this afternoon. So let's trust God for his mercy. And I always tell David at home aloud, I say, you know, I have a problem with Nigeria. Our mouth is too big. Evils crush soar over South Africa. I want humility to enter us. We didn't crush. We barely pipped. It was just a pip based on the mercy of God. In the first half, South Africa outplayed us. Yes, they outplayed us. Completely dismantled our defense. Hit the ball, you know, but the pass is practically, we had a good keeper. That's what saved Nigeria. We had a very good goalkeeper. But they didn't play better. But second half, we played better. And so God had mercy on us. So today, God will have mercy on Nigeria. Amen. How many people are still on my side? On him, side Nigeria. Side Nigeria. Side alone, Nimua. Praise the Lord. Okay. Enoch. Let's see how far we can go with Enoch. Hopefully we'll finish Enoch today. Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Very important. And Enoch walked with God. Everybody screaming, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat other sons and daughters. Interestingly, their names are not recorded. Oh, no. He had other children. It is not every child that behaves themselves in a way that is worthy to be recorded inside the scripture. And the days of Enoch were 365 years. Incidentally, I'm 65 this year. I said, God, is there something here? He said, just keep praying. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and then he died. I don't want to go into all of that. Now, this Enoch is very, very important. Number one, Enoch only started working with God at 65 years after he begat Methuselah. Why? Why didn't he start working with God before he begat Methuselah? Oh, let's even forget Methuselah. Why did he start working with God earlier? Why did he waste 65 years? It's a rhetorical question. I don't have all the answers. I don't think any human being does, and I think it's at the Bema seat of Christ, because all of us are going to stand before God. I won't miss any of those tribunals when I'm in heaven. You know, you can go to, when you know, when you're in heaven, you can go and play in one planet, or you can go and play in somewhere, but me, I won't play. I'm going to sit. Yeah, those judgments, I want to hear what happened. You know, but I can, based on the principles of the Word of God, I have some ideas. Why? Like most of us, he didn't take God seriously. He wasn't a bad man. He was a good man. Majority of us are like that. I used to be like that. That is why I can identify with it. Where we're good people, in quotes, the Bible says he was a good man. Like Cornelius, he gave. I used to do that before I became a Christian. Oh, I was very generous. I used to give people, my friends, because I was in UI, you know. My parents, in those days, it was 1 naira to 1 pound, you know, or sometimes 1 naira 50. You know, my mom would give me 500 naira, which is, you know, 500 pounds. It was $750, you know. Then my stepfather, because my mom was remarried to Justice Bakri, he would give me his own. My dad would give me. Then my Uncle Femi here, Femi Johnson, he would give me. Sometimes Uncle Bolaji would give me. I wasn't easy. So you know, when I went on summer holidays, then I had another uncle, you know, one of my my mommy's sister's husband, who was also a very rich man, you know, he too would give me, sometimes he'd give me £500, you know. So sometimes I have 2,000, 3,000 pounds. 17-year-old boy doesn't know anything. I blow it in 6 weeks. Completely. You know, in London, I don't go with tube, I go with cab, black cab. You know, you invite a girl out, you don't go and take her to tuba. You have to take her in. So I was a good person in that sense. You know, and then I'd buy a lot of nice clothes, you know, go to Oxford Street, Bond Street, you know, buy the latest. So when I come back to UI, you know, in September, when we come back to school, where did you get that from? You know, when I go to the, in those days, we used to eat in postgraduate hall. They had a nice cafeteria there. We used to go and show off our clothes there. So everybody will know you have just come from summer. You know, you have corduroy jeans and, you know, Michelle Axel shirts. So people come, where'd you get this from? Where'd you get that from? You know, I said, well, I just got it in London, you know. Boys will be boys. You know, and then, we go back. You know, so when we have a party and something is happening, some of my friends come and meet me, whose parents could not afford, maybe they couldn't go or they couldn't afford that kind of something. Say, will it be Yami Shirti? You know. That's Olubi, please lend me this shirt. I'll say, you can have it. Doesn't matter. I'll buy another one next year. You know, you can buy. And I said this as an unbeliever. That's how I know this thing really is true. I would say we didn't bring anything. I didn't know the Bible, though. I didn't know the scripture. I just said it from human thinking. I said, we didn't bring anything and we're not taking anything away. I said, you can have it. I was very generous. I still am. But now, of course, we better understand it. You know, I was very generous with my things. I never held on to anything, you know, too tightly. You know, I could give out things, nice shoes. You know, some of my friends, I was like, "Look, you can have it. Don't worry." You know. But I didn't know God, and I wasn't serious with God. I was obeying the law of conscience to a reasonable degree. Certainly I was no angel. Talk to me. You know, I was one of the boys. Let me just say it nicely. Everything boys did, I did it. Let's just leave it like that. Amen. It's under the blood of Jesus now. But if boys did it, I did it. Except hemp. I didn't do that one. I never did that one. You know, but if boys did it, I did it. You know? But I was just a nice guy, you know. From the Bible, I now understand, you know, someone like Enoch. And there are a lot of people like that who are like that today. That's one of the reasons why we're preaching these prophetic messages, because they have present truth application, you know, who are good people, good in quotes, people like Enoch, people like Cornelius, people like Abimelech. People who have integrity of heart, they don't do bad things unless maybe under serious pressure. Someone like me, for example, I wouldn't lie normally. But under certain conditions, I will lie. It's the truth. You know? I was nice. But under certain conditions, there were certain things I did that I was ashamed of, that I should never have done. But you know, boys will be boys. So, there are lots of people who are like Enoch today, who are obeying the law of their conscience. It is written of them in the book of Romans. He said, when the Gentiles, and I was a Gentile, I'm no longer a Gentile, I'm now a Jew. But a spiritual Jew. I'm not a physical Jew. You know? When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature, that's what I was doing when I was giving my things out and I was nice to my friends, you know, even with girlfriends. I used to tell people, I said, look, don't tell the girl a lie. If you're not going to do something, you know, tell her the truth. I say, what is your sister? I wasn't born again, no. I said, I won't do that to my sister. Don't tell them lies. Don't be going with this one and then go with that one and go with that one. I said, don't do that. Be straight. I used to be like that. You know. So I was obeying the law of conscience, not perfectly. No sinner can obey the law of conscience perfectly because of the sin nature. But I was doing it, let's say, reasonably. Maybe 50%, 60%. You know. And many people are like that. And I'm sure Enoch was like that. Then I got born again. I'll talk about Enoch. And even after I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I started praying in tongues. I stopped all the things boys do. I stopped all of that, you know. And, you know, I was bumbling along. I was a good Christian. I was praying. I was reading my Bible, doing all of that. Then God told me one day, say, you're not serious. I felt insulted. I said, I'm not sure who's serious. At that time, I'd come to Nigeria, left London, everything. So he said, what's kinetic energy? I told him. He said, what's Philippians 4:8? I was struggling with it. I didn't have it at my fingertips. Like I had the physics at my fingertips. Then he said, see, you're not serious. I understood immediately what he was saying. I was not applying the same priority, consecration, dedication to my study and practice of God's word that I had been applying to my academic work. I changed from that day till today. Enoch. That's what happened to him. Knew God, obeying his conscience to some degree, but he wasn't serious. Then he had a son. His name Methuselah. Methuselah's name means, I checked the original Hebrew, it means man of the dot. It also means, all Bible commentators will tell you this, you see it in Dick's Bible and many of them, when he's dead, the flood will come. Apparently, when Methuselah was born, a revelation came that God was going to bring a flood of judgment to the earth when Methuselah dies. So they had entered, watch this, the generation of the flood. And Enoch was aware of it. Changed him. Potential Enochs. I didn't say Enochs. I said Enochs. Born again and not born again. You can be a born again Enoch, and you can be an Enoch that is not yet born again. I want you to know you are in the generation of the flood. I said this last time. We are in the last of the last days. There are only three last days. We're taking a day to be 1,000 years. The first two have passed. We're in the last of the last days. Then we're in the last generation of the last days. If you have that revelation, you'll be like Enoch. You will change. You'll not just be a nice guy like I was. You'll not just be a good guy, you know, who has, you know, obeyed the law of conscience to some degree. You will start taking God seriously. And so that's what happened to Enoch. He started after 65 years. Then I have a footnote on this 65 years. Incidentally, I'm going to be 65 this year. I don't know what that means. I don't think it has any significance. It may. I don't know. You know? But God had all those ages recorded in the Bible as a instruction, as an encouragement. The Bible says, whatsoever things were written for our learning, that we through the comfort and the patience of the scriptures might have hope.
Let me give you hope.
Say, oh, Pastor Lupi, I didn't know God. I've not done this. I'm 65 years old. It's not too late. The God that did it for you, not could do it for you. That's why it's called his testimonies. But I'm going to extend that. There was another guy. We're going to read about him. We're going to hear about him in some weeks' time. His name is Abraham. He was called at 75. Again, like Enoch, he was a nice guy. Obeying the law of conscience, but he didn't know God. So God had to take him out of a pagan culture to make him the father of many nations. Oh, hello. Let's give Father Abraham a super clap of him. That's another guy. Well, that's another great, great man. Great man. You know, but he was an ordinary guy just like you and I. He was just, obeying the law to the best that he could. See, what God looks at is the heart. All generations. Then there was another guy. His name is Moses. He wasn't even called on. He was 80. All that he did when he was 40, he did it flesh. He didn't know God. He just felt that the Egyptians were unjust to be oppressing the Hebrews. That he was thinking from a purely human standpoint. So he killed an Egyptian. Then the same Pharaoh knew, so he ran away to the land of Midian. He was there for 40 years. A prince of Egypt. A potential heir to the throne of Egypt. Mighty in words and deeds. And he was reduced to looking after sheep. Can you look at the drop? There's a guy who's a king. I mean, prince of Egypt. He lived in opulence. He built treasure cities. He was a great architect. He was certainly a great statesman. The Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds before, I didn't know God. At the age of 80, God gives him a revelation in the burning bush and turned him. What is the message to this generation? I don't care if you are 12, 20, 30, 40, 65, like me or Enoch, 75, 80, or 100. It really doesn't matter now. Like Enoch, like Abraham, like Moses, if you will respond to this prophetic message and to the word of God, God can make a great saint out of you and fulfill a great destiny for your life. That is the lesson we learn from Enoch's, the record of Enoch and Abraham and Moses in particular, And many others too. But, those ones got to know God much later in their lives. They were good people. That's why I use my own life as an example. They were people who were, the best ways. They were obeying the law of conscience to a good degree. Not perfectly. They couldn't because they were sinners. But they obeyed it to a good degree. And God took note of it. And then God began to work in the background, like he did in my own life. Began to work in the background and got them to where he could get them born again. When I look at my own experience, I know it's not unique to Olubi Johnson. I know it's God does the same in every life, But I can just use my own example, God knew I wouldn't listen. God knew me. I wouldn't listen when I'm with all my friends and everything. So it takes me to Ecom. Can you believe that, Pastor Gwega? No, people don't know where Ecom is. Trust me, it's on the map. Amen. It's 15 kilometers from the Cameroonian border. I'm sure it's more developed now. Back in those days, they didn't even have light. They had no electricity in Ecom. So my school was one of the few places. I was teaching Holy Child College in Ecom, in my youth corps. Was one of the few places where we'll get, and they would put on the light at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they would take it off at 6 o'clock. We had a generator. So there was no NEPA. We were not connected to the national grid. That was where God will catch somebody like me. I was not in Calabar. I was not in Ibadan. I was not in Lagos where I have all my friends going to party. I won't hear. So it takes me to Ikom, far from all my friends. Ikom, we used to ride Harley Davidson from Ikom to Calabar. You know, we go through Ugep, Obubra, Akankpa, you know, and all these places. You know, it takes you 3 hours. We used to do it, you know, crazy boys. You know, just because I want to go to a party. Can you imagine? I ride a bike from Ikom to Calabar. Yes! So where is happening? Because nothing's happening in Ikom. Stupid boys. But, you know, God knew my heart. And he was merciful. Kept me. Looked after me. Then towards the end of my youth corps, began to speak to me. I didn't know it was God at first. Say, you know what, you know, how are you going to make it in life? How are you going to be a success? That was what led me to Christ. Then I began to read about what's his name? Onassis and Paul Getty. Read their autobiographies and I discovered they were failures. They didn't have good lives. They had 5 wives and divorce. I said, this one is not a success. So I now began to, you know, someone said, there was one of the Christians, obviously wasn't a serious Christian, because he used to come to parties with us and misbehave, you know, but he was a Christian anyway, you know. And he said to me, have you read the Bible? I said, of course I read the Bible. I have an A in Bible knowledge. That was the spark God needed. And then God now drew me out and I got a Bible. And then I read Romans, and then I got born again. That's how it happened. God isolated me, and he knows what he's doing. Then brought me back to Lagos only for a few weeks. I was taken in prayer college. Pew, I'm back in London. Then I rededicate life to God, and then the church I'm going to is just behind my hostel. Only God can arrange that. Looking back now, I recognize it was God. So, the Bible also says these things about Enoch. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Paul is quoting Genesis. And look at verse 5. How many people are still on my side? I didn't see your hand. Wave. Then if you're on the Lord's side, give him a clap. Amen. Now it's not for me, it's for the Lord. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. This is the record of Enoch. Enoch represents a type of a generation of men who will walk with God and will not die physically and be taken to heaven. We call it the rapture. Enoch was the type. He was the prototype. He was the first that it happened to. And it was written for admonition unto whom the ends are come. We are that last generation. We are destined. It is our destiny to walk with God, and we are not. There is a question hanging in the air. Will you? It's not compulsory. Just depends on what you will do. That's why these prophetic messages are coming. Is to challenge you. To inspire you. If God did it for Enoch in the Old Testament, he can do it for me today. Jude chapter 1 verse 14. I'm going to give you a mind-blowing scripture. Jude, who's still on my side? Good. Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude. So if anybody says Jude chapter 2, you know it's from the devil. Jude chapter 1 is verse 14. Talking about Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So if you're looking at the chronology, if you're looking at the genealogy, Enoch is the seventh generation from Adam. Seven is God's number for completion. Prophesied. Turn to your neighbor and say, Enoch prophesied. Hello, Enoch. If you're going to be an Enoch, you're going to have to prophesy. We're going to look at that before we close. If you don't prophesy, you're not an Enoch. Enoch prophesied. But don't let me make that difficult. Let me just quickly say, because you know, some people, they get all kind of bent out of shape when they hear these kind of things. Every Christian is supposed to prophesy. So if you're born again spiritual Christian, you should prophesy. I'll show you in a minute. You know? And Enoch prophesied of these, saying, behold, revelation. Enoch had revelation. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch saw the end time. Give him another super clap offering. What a guy. We're talking about all this long before Moses. He prophesied. He saw by revelation. Simply because he made a decision, Pastor G, at the age of 65 to walk with God. How many of us have made that decision? I didn't say decision to be born again. I said a decision to walk with God. Do you take God seriously? Let me correct that. How seriously do you take God? Most of us don't take God that seriously. God is an insurance policy to get to heaven. So, like I shared on Christmas Day, we put him in the garage. Put him with the animals and all of that. So long as he's there, we know we're going to heaven. But it's too expensive. It's going to cost me too much of my time and too much of the things I like for me to put him in the presidential suite. That's why many of us are not like, you know, not like Enoch yet. But by the end of this message, I expect you to start becoming more like Enoch. He prophesied. He saw by revelation the coming of the Lord. And he knew God was going to come. He saw the rapture. Ha! You know what Enoch saw? He saw the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. It says, and he came back on a white horse. Do you understand? With 10,000s of saints, you know, and their clothing was clean and white. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, you know, and they that were with him were called, chosen and faithful. Enoch saw it. Another clap offering for Enoch. What a guy. Hallelujah. Woo! Verse 15. That the Lord is coming with 10,000 of saints. I'm going to be in that 10,000. I've made up my mind. Hallelujah. Whatever it's going to cost, I'm going to give it. By the grace and the mercy of God. Not by myself, but by the grace and the mercy of God. I'm not going to be on the other side. You know, the day Jesus is coming back, there are going to be two sets of people. There'll be those who are behind him that are coming with him. And then there'll be those who are on the earth that are seeing him come. Those ones, the Bible says, they will cry and say, let the rocks fall on us. And save us from the great day of his wrath has come. Then there are those of us who are behind him who are executing judgment. Hallelujah! Which side are you going to be on that day? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. The Bible is an interesting book. He uses that ungodly, he keeps using it, showing that they didn't paint God. they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly have spoken against him. You know, God is recording everything. Attitudes, words, actions, and he's going to execute judgment. Enoch saw it and prophesied about it long before the book of Revelation. This is a guy I want to be like. Hello, somebody. Today, I'm reading what God gave me as I was preparing. The prophetic word of the coming of the flood of the glory of God should make present day Enoch start walking with God, irrespective of their age. Don't you say in your heart, oh well, Enoch 65, I have time. I'm only 20. I can mess around for another 45 years. Then I'll walk with God. Yeah, it would be too late. I don't even think we have 30 years. I'm talking to the rapture. Then to the end of the tribulation, looking at 37, maybe 40 years. Not the end of tribulation, when Jesus returns physically. We're looking at 2056, you know, about I'm not saying exactly 2053, because here we're 2024. If the glory of God starts in 2025, as we expect it to, you know, then you go 21 years, it takes 2046. 7 years of tribulation takes 2053. These are prophetic shadows. I'm not giving exact dates and times. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But, you know, it just gives you a time frame. Because when you have the time frame, then it will not come upon you as a thief. If you don't know the time and season, it can come to you as a surprise. The Bible says, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because you should know perfectly the times and the seasons, which is what I'm sharing with you. So, you know, he's coming. So you're looking at 28 years, 30 years. So you say, oh, I'm 20. You know, I don't need, you know, no, let all the pastor will be all the old men, 65, let them be walking with God. I mean, let me enjoy sin. Number one, there's no enjoyment in sin. You're very foolish. There's only one thing sin gives, is death. The wages of sin is death. Don't let anybody fool you when you are 12 or 14 or 17 or 20 and say, you need to enjoy your life a little bit. It's not enjoyment. It would destroy your life. And the times in which you're living are worse than the times in which we lived. When we were in our teenage years, things were bad. But now things are horrible. But the good news is that where sin has abounded, grace has much more abounded. There's more grace today. There's more revelation today. There's more understanding today. So don't go mess with sin. Sin is a waste of time. So the Lord spoke to me. This is why I said, I'll blow your mind. He said, "Everybody, I'm inviting everybody to be an end time Enoch. You don't have to be 65 years old. You don't have to be 80. You don't have to be 90. It starts from zero, really. But let's use 12 because it's scriptural. Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. You know? So 12 o'clock. So, you know, the Bible speaks of, everybody turn me to Joel chapter 2. We're going to close shortly. How many people are still on my side? Joel chapter 2. Joel is one of the prophets, trust me. God have mercy on us. Eh? Wally, do you ever hear, how much preaching do you hear from these prophets? Hardly. Hardly. Most of our teacher, everybody's always teaching either Mark 11:23, you can have what you say, you know, but this is where your destiny is. It's inside the prophetic scriptures. I remember it was 994. That was the year my son Joshua was born. Joshua is going to be 30 this year by the grace and glory of God. You know, it was 1994. God gave me that revelation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. From, you know the name of the book? Zephaniah. Have you ever heard of Zephaniah? Nobody reads scriptures like that. Zephaniah. What I want to do with Zephaniah, for God's sake. Yet our destiny was in Zephaniah. I'd read it before because I read the whole Bible my first year as a Christian, but it was just mental knowledge. I just read it, you know. I didn't know what it meant. 1994.
revelation. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. Now, Joel chapter 2, and I want to read just two verses, verses 2, 28 and 29. It's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the end times, you know, which started on the day of Pentecost. So it's still applicable till today. And it shall come to pass afterward. That is a prophetic reference to the manifestation of the sons of God, you know, the Spirit without measure. But I'm not looking at that now. I'm going to take now in the context Peter took it. When he says, and when Peter quoted this scripture, he didn't use afterward. He used in the last days. The two applications. So this, we're sticking with that one to start for today because we're still in that time, you know, the last days. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Some modern translation say all mankind. Now look at the demographics. And your sons and daughters shall what? Your old men shall dream. Your young men shall see. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. All demographics and all ages are covered. Look at it. Sons and daughters, that will give you 12 till 30. Young men will go from 30 to 70. Old men will be 70 and above. Everybody is covered. Male and female. God makes no distinction. So everybody who is alive today can be an Enoch. Get a revelation of the flood. You see, that's what Enoch was living in bad times. But he was about to get worse. You have to understand the history of humanity. God made Adam and Eve. They sinned. Their first son became a murderer. He killed his brother Abel. Then they got another son called Seth. From Seth, a righteous line started coming. So the line we're talking about now that Enoch came from is Seth. That's why we get the word anti-Semitic. You know, that's the line from which Enoch, Noah, then later on Abraham came, and Moses, and then the Jewish race, and all of that. So that line of people were there, and these guys, you know, they handed over the knowledge of God by oral tradition from generation to generation about the God their father Adam knew in the Garden of Eden. That was what he used to walk with before they fell. Now, what happened was that many of these guys, you know, a lot of the other people, you know, did not retain the knowledge of God. The descendants of Cain and Nimrod and so on. So what happened was that evil and sin began to multiply in the earth. It got worse and worse. And worse, idol worship, you know, killing of children, infanticide, you know, they used to kill children, babies. See, in this day, we are shouting about abortion. In those days, the baby would have been born. The baby would be alive. Then they would sacrifice the baby to a god, Moloch, and all these terrible. This is one of the reasons why God did what he did. That he asked them to kill all that generation. Say, what of the children? Children are going to heaven. Keep your mouth shut and mind your business. God knows what he's doing. Are you listening to me? Life doesn't end here. Because if you leave those children, they will teach them the wrong thing. Have you never read the scripture? Where the Bible says that the fruit of the womb is his reward. And that children are the heritage of the Lord. Who told you it's your heritage? Who gave you the child? All children are God's children. You and I are only parents as custodians on the earth. And you will give account to God of what you did with his children.
That's why we dedicate babies. We give it back to the owner for a safekeeping. Because we recognize that in ourselves we cannot keep the child. Another message for another day. Are you still on my side? Now, understand this. So sin began to multiply in the earth. Violence, wickedness. Let me just give a few samples so you to appreciate what, you know, all the terrible things that were happening. You know, this was even after the flood, but it just is a sample of the kind of things, how bad humanity had degenerated to. Lot, because of greed and covetousness, goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels are sent to him through Abraham's intercession because of the judgment that was going to come on Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know what those guys did? The men of Sodom, they saw these two handsome, big, you know, guys. They didn't know they were angels. And they wanted to have sex with them. Can you imagine? Shows you how degenerate the society had become. Because of this condition, and God saw the progression, it was going from bad to worse, to worse, to worse. God had made up his mind that he was going to bring a flood that's going to remove the sinful men on the earth and preserve a generation. We'll talk more about that next time when we talk about Noah, through Noah. So ahead of time, God will do nothing on the earth except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And who was the prophet of the time? Enoch. So when Methuselah was born, God revealed it through his name that this boy, by the time this boy dies, the flood will come. Enoch woke up. So it is here today. All of you who are listening to me, sons and daughters, young men and young women, old men, I don't count myself old because I'm not 70 yet, praise the Lord. So I still put myself in the class of the young men between 30 and 70. Anything above 70 is old. So in 5 years' time, I'll be old, but then I won't be old, amen. It's all in the mind. Amen. What do we do? Closing. Number one, make more room for Jesus. I'm not going to go through that. We've been talking about that. Number two, I got this from Kenneth Hagin's, that tape I sent, the message I sent to you, Kenneth Hagin's tape. I knew it before, but God used Kenneth Hagin. That's what prophets do. They clarify, they confirm, they clarify, and they amplify. You know, God was speaking to me. You know, he spoke to me. Number two, get the knowledge of God and spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. There, beloved, I will not have you ignorant concerning the spiritual. Majority of Christians are ignorant concerning spiritual things. Reality of spiritual things, spiritual forces, spiritual beings, spiritual laws. Total ignorance. You need a spiritual education. We shared a daily rhema some weeks ago. Pastor Wally and Pastor Lalu chose it. You know, getting a spiritual education. There's a big difference between education and literacy. Anybody who can read and write is literate, but they're not educated. Says, oh, because you can read and write, let me come and treat you as a doctor. He's not. To become a doctor, you have to be educated. So you have to go to school. You have to learn biology and chemistry and physiology and anatomy and biochemistry over many years and practice it. Then your mind becomes trained in that particular profession. Then you can practice that profession. Then you're educated. Many Christians are literate. They know what the Bible says mentally, but they are spiritually uneducated.
You need to get a spiritual education and take it more seriously than the education for your medicine or education for physics or education for economics or education for banking. You know why? She's thy life. Take fast hold of instruction. She's thy life. The degree of your spiritual education, and there are degrees. There is O level, there is A level analogs, you know, equivalents. There is bachelor's, which is cleansing perfection. There is a master's, which is manifesting perfection. Then there is a doctorate, which is permanent perfection. Oh, yes. Oh. Jesus stopped at master's and said, you guys do the rest. The works I did, you will do an end greater. So I've shown you enough. Ah! Glory be to God. Stand to your feet. I'm not closing the sermon yet, but I want you to stand. Except for the elderly or the infirm. Oh, I don't want you sleeping on me. Am I down low? They don't know that God is watching as I'm preaching. Oh, you want me to mention names? Don't let me go there. They said mercy. Get a spiritual knowledge of spiritual things. Not only gifts, but spiritual things generally. Spiritual beings, spiritual forces, spiritual laws. These are things I've been teaching you all these years. Love is not an emotion, it's a force. It's a spiritual force. Peace is a spiritual force. Joy is a spiritual force. They act on your emotions, but they are not emotions. And you launch them through your mouth. Most Christians are ignorant of these things. Number two. That's number two. Number one, make more room for Jesus, which is prayer and all of that. Then number two, get the knowledge of God's word, of God and spiritual things. Number three, covet earnestly, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go there. Who's still on my side? Don't mind the man. He made us stand up. I'm not on his side again. Ese endu me. Why come and punish one church? My Lord church don't punish one. I'm saying the thoughts of men's hearts. God has your number. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love. The old King James says charity, but if you have a new King James, it says the new King James says pursue love. Pursue love and desire spiritual. Again, gifts is in italics, meaning that in the original Greek, it's not gifts. It's just pursue spiritual things. Follow after love and pursue after love and desire spiritual things, especially that you may prophesy. Now, why? I mentioned this glancingly on Wednesday, but I want to expand it, and we'll talk more about it when we go into Noah and some of the other great saints. Why? Prophecy, which is equivalent to tongues and interpretations, are the utterance gifts. They are the door to all the other gifts. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this years ago. Now I understand the mechanics. And this is it. It is utterance, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, that will open the door to revelation. It is revelation that will open the door to the power gifts. Everybody say utterance gifts, say vocal gifts, say revelation gifts, then say power gifts. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Spiritual education. What I'm giving you now, you won't read in a book. I understand it because I have spiritual understanding. And answer to that prayer of Colossians 1. That may fill with knowledge of doing all wisdom. So that's what I'm giving you now. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Will you start with the vocal? That's why the first thing God gives you is tongues. If you stay with it and you have a right attitude, prayer, Pauline prayers and all, making more room for Jesus, it will open the door to revelation gifts, which in turn will open the door to the power gifts. You don't just jump to power. So Kenneth Hagin was teaching us over 40 years ago, the title of that message was how to have more, greater measure of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is the track. Vocal, that's why you want more gifts of spirit, speak more in tongues. Pray more in tongues. The next thing you're going to come is revelation. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Look at, I've been teaching by the grace, I yet not by grace. Look at the amount of revelation. How do you think I got it? Is it because I'm special or because my name is Olubi? I had nothing to do with it. Amen? It's because by the grace of God, I spend minimum 3-4 hours praying in tongues every day. Days when I have church like this, I do 5-6. Some days I do 9. It's the door. It's the key. There's no other way. I just got a scripture from the Lord. You know, he says, hey, all those that go and say they are thieves and robbers. He's in John 10. He said, I am the door. He said, if any other company comes and he's a thief and a robber, and there are plenty of thieves and robbers in the church today. They claim to have revelation. They claim to have power, but they didn't get it from God. They are thieves and they are robbers. So covet, you're not allowed, the Bible says thou shalt not covet. But here you are permitted to covet. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, especially prophecy. I'm trusting God that from Passover, which is going to be around late March, early April, we're going to start seeing more of the gifts of the Spirit in the manifestation. And what I'm doing by these preachings and teachings is to create a hunger and a desire. Covet. Especially prophecy. Pray a lot in tongues. Ken Hagin said this in his own experience. You know, he said the more he prayed in tongues, the more he saw the gifts of the Spirit. The less he prayed in tongues, the less the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because tongues is the gateway. It's the key. I would say vocal. Revelation, power. That's how it works. Anybody try and jump to power and he doesn't go through vocal, he's a thief and he's a robber. I'm going to close. Trust me, I'm going to close. Watch and pray always. That's already there. Make it more room for Jesus. I put it in bracket. We've done that, so I'm not going to do that again today. To walk. And so walk in the more excellent way of love. How are you going to get these gifts in the Spirit and this power of God in your life? Love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this years and years ago. Somebody said, tongues is not important. Kenneth Hagin said, and God spends 3 whole chapters on what is not important. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Corinthians 14 on what is not important. But you see how he did it? He now sandwiched it in love. Do you know why the tongues of most of the church is not working? The Pentecostal, you know, is not producing revelation. Certainly not producing any power. It's not this power must change hands. All these thieves and robbers. Seriously. You know why? No love.
no sufficient emphasis on the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Who is still on my side? Glory be to God. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, so covet is one way. Covet is one condition, but it's not the only condition. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a scoundrel, and so on and so forth. I don't want to go into all of that. If you don't go on the way of love, even those gifts you have will become ineffective. So for us to be an end time Enoch, we have to make more room for Jesus. We have to earnestly covet the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, because it is the gateway to revelation and power. Then we have to pray and then walk in love. Then our gift will remain pure and it will have power. Let's talk to God. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Thank you, Peter.
Lord, pour out your Spirit upon the peoples of the earth.
Let your
sons and daughters, let your sons and daughters
speak your word.
Speak your words of prophecy.
This is a great song.
Send us dreams and visions.
Send us dreams.
Oh Lord, reveal
the secrets of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, our faith is rising. Hallelujah. All heaven hear the sounding of your name.
And now there is a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus' name shall be saved.
The next verse.
Lord, pour out,
pour out your Spirit
on all the nations of the earth.
The nations of the earth.
Let them see your glory.
Let them see your glory. Let them fall in reverence, Lord. Hallelujah. Show your mighty power. Oh, yes. Shake the heavens and the earth.
Awakening. Oh, and now there
on your heart. Raise the other hand. I want you to give me that last verse again. Lord, pour out your glory. What a word. I've not seen this before. It's new. At least I've not seen it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Raise that hand. Lord, pour out your glory quietly and slowly
upon the perfect church you're raising from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Let us manifest your name.
What a word. Oh.
Raise great kings and prophets who do your will upon the earth.
Oh.
Let all nations fear you. And now there is a great awakening. And now there is a great revival in our lives. And now there is a great awakening.
And everyone. Raise that hand. God is searching for Enochs. He's searching for Abrahams. He's searching for Noahs and Joshuas and Moseses. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro the whole earth and to and fro the whole church. While you're born again, it's not automatic you're an Enoch. Not automatic, you're an Esther. Not. It all depends on how you respond to the word of prophecy. You've heard the prophetic word today. When he got the revelation of the flood, he changed. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing to me that you are now recruiting into your church end time Enochs who will walk with you. They will not see death and they will be translated. Lord, I want to be one of them. But I recognize that I have to walk with you. Like Enoch, I have heard about the revelation of the flood of your glory that is coming to the earth, in particular to your church, to cleanse it. That 2/3 will be removed and 1/3 will be taken through the fire and refined like gold and silver. I understand. And I sign up for it. I sign up for it. I'm not just going to be born again. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to make more room for Jesus. I'm going to covet earnestly the best gifts, especially prophecy. I'm going to speak more in tongues. I'm going to pray more from the Pauline prayers. I'm going to maintain an attitude of honesty, humility, the fear of God, so I will get more revelation, so that I will get more power and do your will. The Bible says your people will be willing in this day of your power. Lord, I am willing. I am willing. I am willing to do whatever it takes to carry your glory in these end times. In Jesus' name. Nikatolo Moshela Pride. Father, Salabriki Tolo Moshelebia.
Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Your power. In and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, in this regard, insufficient measure, Remaka shalika to frede lombriki to fridis nekrtolo grenska frede loprede riputusko frede in Jesus' name. If you need healing, just stretch your hands. God said I should minister healing. Kenneth Copeland said healing always comes, it's not always received, sadly, but it always comes. So it's our responsibility to make sure it comes. Father, we release your healing power into the bodies of all those whose hands are outstretched, both on site here and online at home. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. I want to repeat some things I've said about healing. It's the God's will that you be healed. And God doesn't mind you using medical science, so long as you don't lean on it. So, Pastor, how do I not do that? Well, use it, but then you keep praying. Don't say, well, I have medical science, then you relax. No. Use medical science, then you keep praying. And get more prosperity to your soul. And get more divine life and health into your body. So that when your body comes against something medical science doesn't have an answer for, you'll be able to overcome it. Something I said many months, years ago, here in this church. I haven't said it in recent times, but I want to repeat it now. Because there's a lot that's flying all over the whole place. Satan is up in his game. He wants to kill as many of us as possible before this thing is all over and get us out of the way. He doesn't care if you go to heaven, so long as you're not here to disturb his program. Whenever you pray, you should pray this prayer every day. The Spirit of God will give life to your physical members, you know, for divine healing and divine life, that He will reverse the sin nature and sicknesses and diseases and infirmities. Our scientists and doctors will tell you all sickness begins at the cellular level. They know that now. So the attack on drugs and everything now is at the cellular level. Your body's made of tiny, tiny cells. And inside those cells, there's DNA and all kinds of things, you know. And what Satan does, he goes in there and he distorts those things. Up to now, they don't know why cancer happens. They just know it happens. Suddenly, one set of cells just start misbehaving. And if it's not taken care of, either by radical surgery or radiotherapy or chemotherapy to kill the cancer cells, it will keep growing and kill the person. So many people have died of cancer. Even rich people. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, he died of pancreatic cancer. Why? Because he got it, but he got it late. He went to the East and went to all these funny religions, tried to look for the natural answer. Didn't get. By the time he came back to America and they did the medical, it was too late. Pray daily to put the life of God in your physical members so it will continue to work at the cellular level and reverse anything Satan may be trying to do on the inside. So that you will live in divine healing and health. You will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Very important, I say so. This is a battle, you know. But it's a good fight.
It's a good fight of faith because you win. We sang it today, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit.